This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So the other day, I was at my field work, you know, my first grade, and I was on break, just minding my own business. I was just eating my birani in the teacher's lounge. I was living life.
Yeah.
I was excited to just scroll on my phone and not talk to anyone, right?
Right.
This white lady comes in. She's a substitute lady, so, like, she's new. She was like, oh, my God, is that Indian food? It smells so beautiful. It smells so heavenly, you know? And I was like, oh, you know, similar to Indian food, but it's Bangladeshi because that's where I'm from. I'm from Bangladesh.
Right.
She was like, oh, my God, no way you're from Bangladesh. She had literally, like, shock in her eyes. It was, like, the most, like, profound thing I've ever said she's ever heard in her life. And she was like, no way you're Bangali. Don't mind me when I say this, but, like, you're so beautiful and modernized. Like, how can you be Bangali? And already right then and there, I was like, oh, hell no.
Right.
And then this woman had the audacity to fully take out her glasses, put on her glasses and stare at me.
She literally could not believe it.
And then she stared at me like a freaking zoo animal. Like, I literally felt like an animal. And then to make matters worse, she was like, oh, but Bangladesh is such a backwards country, you know?
You deadass should have said something, honestly.
I couldn't because I was in work. I was in a work environment.
You could have.
So anyway, she was like, oh, it's such a backwards country. And in my head, I'm thinking, like, I mean, I said it, obviously, but I was like, yeah, it was traditional years and years ago, as was every other country, but now it's getting modernized, as every country is. She was like, oh, that's good, that's good. I have a Bangladeshi friend, by the way. I was like, you know what?
You should have literally said, let's cut this convo short. You should have just said, what do you mean by that? You know, instead of agreeing, you should have been like, what do you mean?
Yeah, to make them feel stupid, you should say, like, but what did you mean by that?
That would have been my reflex.
Yeah, I should. No, honestly, the only reason I wasn't hot-headed is because I was at work and I couldn't. Because usually, like, I would tell them off right away. But that woman really, really pissed me off.
If that woman is listening right now to our podcast... Hey.
The woman is definitely not listening.
Get it straight. All right. Anyways, thank you guys for listening, coming back to our podcast, Difficult-ish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. My name is Mashnoon.
My name is Mahua.
And what are we going to be talking about today? I know this is something that you brought up to me. It's something that you told me you got a lot of responses when you posted it on your story.
Yeah.
So. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I got
today?
Like 100 responses. I put something up on my story about identity crisis. And apparently a lot of people in their early and mid 20s are going through this. And Mashu and I were talking about this and he was like, what does it mean again?
No. It was early in the morning. You brought up the topic and obviously I know what it is, but I think it means something different to, like, a lot of people because everybody has different identity crises at different points of their life. You know, people have a quarter life crisis. People have, like, when they get out of high school. What is it?
I found the definition on Google for you. An identity crisis is a.
I know what it is.
You know, no, I mean, I had to tell you what it was. An identity crisis is a developmental.
I don't want it anymore. Please.
It's a developmental event
please.
That involves a person questioning their sense of self or place in the world.
Mm.
That's a good one. That's actually, it summarizes exactly what I said to you. When a lot of people question their whole existence. And a lot of people go through this in their early 20s because that's usually when they're graduating. That's usually when they're out alone in the world. And obviously this happens to everyone. It doesn't just happen to brown or South Asian people. But we wanted to kind of take this identity, universal identity crisis, and just talk about it from our lens and why we think we're going through it. So I hope you guys can relate.
Why do you think brown people in particular go through this a lot? Because, I mean, I don't want to just narrow it down to, like, only brown people, of course. But I feel like a lot of brown people get confused at one point in their life to like how brown they are, like depending on what type of family dynamic they had growing up. Mm-hmm. So why do you think this happens to brown people a lot?
Well, now that you said that there's, you know, they question how brown they are, I have two different takes on this. So the first take that I'm very used to, I actually posted an art piece about this yesterday. So if you want to check it out, Labyrinth Ave, help me hit 20K. But I think a big reason why brown people go through identity crisis is because they feel like their whole identity is attached to their family. So like if you're growing up in a South Asian household, a lot of your identities, especially if you're a daughter, I mean, for you, it happened to, you're the son. You have a lot of obligations regarding your position as a son or a daughter, or as your position as a sister or a brother. And it's like you have so many obligations and duties connected to your family, right? And it's very hard to like do things on your own and pursue your hobbies and passions outside of your family because you don't really have like that privilege to. And I remember I also had that when I was coming home from school. It's like I had to do things for my parents, and that's fine, obviously, but it's like it left me very little room to explore my identity and who I was without them or outside of them. So I think a lot of people experience identity crises because they are out in the real world and they're like, you know, who am I without them? You know, it's like they have to get to a point where they have to be independent without their parents. They have to be independent of their family. And a lot of them weren't taught to be independent, you know? They didn't have the privilege to explore themselves. So I think that's one point. But I'll talk about the second point after you talk because I don't want to talk too much.
I think it's crazy because, like, I mean, it didn't happen to me, but I know a lot of brown people. It's like growing up, their family dynamic and just life at home would be super strict and they wouldn't be allowed to go out. You know, this reminds me of this one night. It was maybe like, it was before the pandemic. There was this one Bengali kid. I won't say his name, but he grew up with very, very strict parents. And I was like, I was pretty cool with him in high school, but like, we didn't like talk like that. But this one night he hit up me and my other boy to hang out with him at night because he was back in town. And, you know, we were just like out at night at like 2 a.m. And he's like, yo, like, this is the first time I've ever been out this late. And it was because like his parents were in Bangladesh or something. So he had like freedom to leave. This man was like 21 years old at this time. And he was like, I've never been out of my house this late, like ever before.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's very like academically successful. Like he goes to some prestigious school right now. But I say that to say like, you know, brown kids, they'll grow up in their homes with like a super strict rule set at home and they can't do anything. But once you get out of college, then you're just like expected to just know how to do everything when you didn't have that opportunity to do anything, you know? So I feel like a lot of brown people, once they start getting older, once they, you know, their parents take off the leniency a little bit, they have like the college, they have the college degree now, and now their parents are like, yo, why can't you do this? And you're just like, I didn't get the opportunity to practice any of this, you know?
You know what that reminds me of? It's like, I remember when I was living at home, I obviously had to wear like a certain type of clothing, or like I had to act a certain way to, you know, uphold a reputation or like just be good around my family and like the community. But once I moved out, I had all this time to think. And it's like, it was amazing to have that space to think for myself. But it's also like, who the hell am I living by myself? You know, like, who am I as a person? Because it's very hard to have that space to do it all yourself. And thankfully, like, I'm in a better place now. But I remember when I moved out, I was like exploring my identity through fashion as well. And it's like, wait, am I even fashionable? Like, am I even allowed to wear this type of stuff? Because like in my head, I was still thinking that I was living at home. But it's like, wait, now I have the space to actually dress how I want and act how I want. And it's like a whole crisis, because it's like, is this really me, or is the one that I left at home really me? You know, so it's hard to transition too. So I know that Mashun and I have been going through this identity crisis where like we're like sharing this experience from halfway across the United States. We're like connected that way, you know. It's so cute. Like I'll go through something or he'll go through something, and it's like we'll support each other through it. But it also happens at the same time or like around the same time. So it's so crazy how we're connected. But anyway, I went through this identity crisis. Mashun is also going through this right now. So talk to me about how you feel right now and what you think caused all of this.
I mean, before I talk about like where I am right now, I think it's important to just talk about what I was going through when I was a little bit younger first, because that's all led up to like where I am today. And to just kind of reiterate, you know, I feel like a big reason why I am going through this type of thing today is because, you know, I didn't grow up with a lot of brown people near me. But today I'm super proud of being brown. I'm super representative of being brown. And it's just a big shift compared to what I was, you know, during high school, because I didn't have those type of people around me. And, you know, it really made me question, like, how brown I am. And, you know, my parents, you know, there was just a bunch of stuff going on at home. And, you know, I didn't really have that space to kind of ask, you know, my mom about stuff about Bangladesh or stuff about, like, our culture or our traditions or things that are passed down. And, you know, during high school, I really didn't identify with being brown. Obviously, I've gone through this many times. And I think on top of that, since people saw me as a brown kid, but like I didn't see myself as a brown kid. And when I say brown, like I'm obviously talking about like Bengali, South Asian, you know, everybody would be like, oh, like he's that Indian kid. And I think growing up with me not being able to just identify with who I actually am and always being geared towards like the Latin Spanish crowd, it just made me really like really insecure just about myself, because I didn't know what I was, you know. In one end I was in this group, on another end I was in this group, and the hobbies and the stuff I was into identified with this group, and nothing was just correlated to being Bengali. And that's why for like a majority of my life I didn't feel like that. And it took me a little bit, you know, time, maturity to where I am right now. And I'm very proud of being brown, but I feel like I'm like super late to the game. Like I'm 20 years old and I'm now starting to
20 years old?
I said 20 years. Did I say 20?
No, you said 20.
I'm so sorry. I'm not 20.
This man is fully 23.
I'm so sorry. I am 23. Damn, I'm 23. That's crazy. We're about to be 25 soon. We're really going to go through like
a quarter life crisis. We didn't hit 24 yet.
No, we're next year. Next year. Think about that. Next year
we're 25. All right, let us hit 24 and then we can talk about 25. All right.
So, like, where I am today, I'm happy with knowing that, like, I'm on my journey and I'm on my voyage to becoming, you know, more confident in myself. But that's kind of one aspect, you know, the whole being brown thing. I think one of the main kind of crises I'm going through at the moment, and honestly, I've been going through it on and off for the last, like, I don't know, like, 5 years, is that, you know, I really love all this like artistic shit that I like to do. And I think for the longest time, because I just didn't have that confidence in myself when I was growing up, a little bit of that still seeps into me now, to where I definitely am confident in my ability, but not 100%. And I often question myself, like, am I just gonna be another kid who like just like writes for fun and like post it on Instagram sometimes and just continues to work my 9-to-5 job in whatever type of industry? Or like, am I actually fully confident enough in myself and in my artistic ability to pursue this into like something grander than what it is right now? And I ask myself that all the time. And I know a lot of people ask themselves all the time. And I'm blessed to be a little bit farther than I know a lot of people are, but I know I'm super far. I'm very far away to where I actually want to be in terms of like security with my skills. So do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you're not good at, I mean, blatantly, like, do you ever feel like you're not good enough at what you do?
Yeah, I literally feel like that like all the time. Like both me and you have this blessing where it's like we know that we're going to make it, but it's also like since we're in this cutthroat industry where it's like you have to make your own way, I always feel like we're not doing enough, or it's like we can do more. So I always like doubt myself. And I also had so many different identity crises where in college, like undergrad, I was doing marketing, I was doing like nursing, I was doing so many different majors. And it's like, wait, like, what do I like? And how can I implement that into a career? And it's like, how can I make my parents proud with the career that they also like? So it was like, I had an identity crisis then because I didn't know what I liked. And then I had an identity crisis like 2 years ago where it's like, wait, am I making art to please the people, or am I making the art because it's like my therapy and like my way of speaking, you know? So it's like different things. And like, I don't know if it's specifically identity crisis, but I think you just questioning your position in life and like your purpose. Sorry, position isn't the word, purpose. And like yourself, I think that applies to having an identity crisis. So yeah, like what you said, it's like on and off constantly. And it happens a lot when you're in your 20s and like late teens, probably.
I think something that got me thinking about this a lot is I was listening to another podcast about someone who's going through the exact same thing. And it was, you know, a guy who's made a bunch of stuff for fun, you know, like just random stuff for fun, and people love it, and he's gotten really popular off of this random stuff, but he's never made something that, you know, like he believes will live longer than him. And obviously this is like a very niche topic, so like I won't go super in depth, but like all I've been thinking about for like the last few weeks is, you know, I'm not 100% proud of anything that I've made so far. Yeah, like I've made some paintings that I'll show people, but at the end of the day, like I don't believe anything I've made will live longer than me. And that's kind of what I'm striving for, and I've just been battling with the idea of like, am I capable of doing that? Am I good enough at this thing that I'm doing to make something that's bigger than me? And that's something that I've been thinking about a lot. And I don't know, man, like I've been working on this painting for like the last 2 months, like on and off. And, you know, I'll be working on it, and I'm just like, man, like, what is this? I think super deep into the stuff that I do. And I just, you know, don't know if people will like it. And I question that a lot. And obviously, like, this artistic stuff is very niche, that's why like I won't go super into it. But I think in general, like, people always ask themselves like, am I good enough? Like, is this GPA good enough to get this job? Am I a good enough communicator to pass this interview? And I feel like this whole thing of like, are you good enough is something that you battle with for like a little bit, and then it goes away, and then it comes back and it goes away. Yeah. And it's always coming back, and it sucks that it does come back. And I wish there was just an easier way to find the solution to that. But I guess that's kind of like a part of the journey in life. Like, you have to kind of find the solution to, you know, your way of believing that you're good enough at something.
I was going to say that I feel like these crises happen when you're in a very big transition in your life. And I think that transition is like the bottom of the roller coaster, and you're going up and up and up. But eventually you come back down and you experience the other end of the roller coaster, the good too, you know? So it's like everyone has to experience the bad to experience the good. And I think you actually acknowledging it and realizing that it's happening and wanting to, you know, better yourself is a very big step, because a lot of people kind of just ignore it and hope that it goes away. Whereas you're actually trying to get to the root of it, of the problem, and, you know, trying to prevent it from happening in the future. So I think that's really important too.
I think like something that I want to ask you, because like I want to talk about it too, is just like comparing yourself to like when you were 18, like are you happy with the personality that you have now? Like, are you feel like you're being true to yourself? Do you feel like you're kind of like fabricating anything?
I think as you grow older, you grow more and more true to yourself. I mean, for me, at least, I'm speaking like that. But I think you start to get more confident because you start to realize everything that you've done, and you start to realize what you're capable of and what makes you happy, and that makes you more genuine to yourself. And I am so sure that my 18-year-old self is so proud, because I used to hate myself at 18. So
do you think it's just time for people, because I know if there's like people that are like 17 or 18 listening, the last thing they want to hear is like, I'll just wait and then like it'll come to you. So like, what kind of like, do you, other than just time, do you feel like you did certain things to get to this place that you are now?
Honestly, like every single point in your life, you're still gonna feel like you're not doing enough. So it's like, I can be right now, like I can be 23 and doing as much as I'm doing, and I still don't feel like I'm doing enough. I can be probably 27 and I still won't feel like I'm doing enough, you know? But I'm hoping that you get to a point where you feel content and fulfilled with everything that you've done. And yeah, I think time is a very big factor. And I know I would have been pissed off if someone told me, oh, be patient, you know, time will tell, like it's gonna all work out in the end. I still get annoyed when people tell me that. But I think as long as you keep working on yourself every single day and make that time worth it, then it matters.
So how are you feeling right now? You know, how are you, how do you feel like you're managing at the moment? What are some things that you're going through right now?
Good question, Mashnoon. I'll get to you right now.
All
right. So I've been having this identity crisis, right? And since I moved out, I live by myself, right? I had all the space to think for myself, navigate my own life, do things alone, which is great. You know, I'm so blessed to have that. But I think on top of that, it's like, it's also uncomfortable. You know, it's uncomfortable to live by yourself in the beginning. It's uncomfortable to like just navigate yourself, you know, without anyone telling you what you have to do. And since I left my old community and like started to navigate life on my own in a new city, it's like I kind of had to start from square one. And what I mean by that is like, well, let me start from like the beginning. So it's like I said before, one example of me exploring myself is relearning how I like styling myself, or like rediscovering. And it's like I was uncomfortable with wearing things that I like wearing now, because it's like, wait, I would have never worn this in my old life, you know? And then I started realizing like I have to start making friends that are also like me, and not just be friends with people that I grew up with and just had to be around, you know? I think a lot of people go through that where it's like they grew up with their few friends from elementary school, and it's like they think that they have to stay with them forever, and then they have an identity crisis because they don't have those friends anymore. They outgrow them, or like they have a falling out or something, and they don't have any friends. So it's like, who are they? Or like, are they not likable enough to have friends? And I was kind of in that phase where it's like, I have my core few close friends, like my best friends. But on top of that, do I have anyone to motivate me? Do I have anyone to inspire me? So I was in that phase, like trying to find friends, and like I was trying to go out and find like connections with people and just find people. And that was really difficult to do it again. And I think I was just going through a really big phase of just navigating my life on my own, and like connecting myself with my family in a way where like I was separate from them, I was creating boundaries with them, but I was also like closer to them, you know? So it was like all these different things that I was trying to juggle at the same time. And it was very hard. Like, I remember feeling very bored with life. Like, I think we talked about it before in one of our episodes, but I was very, very bored with life. Like, I felt like I got very comfortable with living on my own, which is crazy because I've only been living by myself for like a few months. And I felt very comfortable with my routine. I felt like there was nothing out there for me anymore. And I felt like I was having a monotonous routine. And I didn't like that at all. And, you know, I just felt very like stagnant. So it was really hard for me to get out of it. But like I said, I started exploring my style. I started trying to make more friends. I started just, you know, making life more fun with like exploring my passions again. And I just really had to like put myself out there and just choose me. And it was really hard, but I'm doing a lot better now.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you said is something that I want to bring up too, is the whole friends thing. I think that's a big reason to why a lot of people go through this type of stuff, and definitely for me too. Like, I had a group of boys that I was running with in high school, and I stopped being friends with them when I was like 18, 19. And after that, I started working in coffee shops, so I was just surrounded by like a lot of white people. And even today, my office is just full of white people, and everybody I'm around is white people. And I had this conversation with my sister, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, where I was just telling her like, yo, I want more friends, bro. Like, I don't have enough friends. And she was like, you're really selective with the people that you're friends with. And I told her, I was like, you know, it's because I feel like I was so, like, I was overdosed with culture growing up to where I feel like I had enough in me to just kind of, like, run by myself. And I didn't, I was like, oh, like, I took all that from my community and, like, I held it with me. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go take this, like, everywhere else. And, like, I'm a present this to other people and I'll be, like, that cultural influence for other people, you know, for, like, these white people that I'm around now. And it, that's how it was. And I was like that for a couple of years, but now I'm just in a place where, you know, being surrounded by people that are not like me, just, I treated it as just kind of like a neutral thing. It wasn't like negatively impacting me or anything. It was just like, yeah, they're cool people. They're people that are around me. Like, I'll manage in the meantime. I got enough inside of me to carry on. But it's really gotten to the point where, like, these people are literally, I'm gonna say, like, drowning me out, but it's like, I really,
they're just sucking the life out of you,
like, but not like, not purposely, like, they don't realize, yeah, what they're doing. Like, I'll be in work calls and they'll just be talking about, like, Disney movies and like different shit. Like, I told you this, but what's it called, I have a coworker who, he can name every single Oscar winner since the year 2000. If I'm like, yo, who won best actress in 2006, he'll name it. Like, that's how, like, well-versed in, like, his culture he is. But, you know, we started talking about music and they were talking about, like, their favorite albums, and they were talking about, like, oh, my favorite album's, like, the Pink Floyd album or the Beatles album, which is great, like, whatever, it's your type of music. But I was like, oh, like, you know, one of my favorite albums is regarded as one of the best albums ever. It's To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar. And literally, this coworker that knows every single Oscar winner, he was like, who is that? And I was like, it didn't hit me until later, but, like, it's so crazy how, like, these people know so much about just something else, but, like, the most vague, like, who is Kendrick Lamar? This man does not know who Kendrick Lamar is. And I said the name again. He was like, oh, I've heard of him. And I'm just like, what? So, like, this type of stuff, like, it has gotten to the place where it's just, like, drowning me out. And I just want to be surrounded by brown people again. And I think that's a big reason why, a big factor to why I'm feeling like the way I am today, is because I'm in a place where I'm, like, I'm in go mode. Like, I'm so excited to, like, pursue my journey of becoming more Bengali and, like, understanding more of my culture. And of course, like, I could keep running down this path myself, and I will, no matter what. But it's like, you know, not having those people around you really sucks, man. And
yeah,
I just empathize with people who, like, don't grow up with brown people, because I get it. Like, it's so hard. But, you know, on one end, I tell myself, like, I got enough in me, and I got my mom who answer any questions that I got about my culture. But the other end, it's like, you just really want to be around those people that influence you, you know, like, and are mm-hmm. beneficial to your lives. And it's so hard finding those people, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, I'm looking for them, and I feel like they're so important when you're going through something like this.
Yeah, I remember when I had, like, an identity crisis in the beginning of college too, because it's like, wait, I'm Mahua. Why are people calling me Mo? But it's like, I didn't know how to correct anyone. I was still very whitewashed.
People still call me Mosh. And I was like, I hate it.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no.
Mosh.
Moshy poo. But yeah, I was having my own crisis back then, because it's like, I didn't want to be whitewashed anymore. I didn't want to be so far away from my culture anymore. But it's like, who am I? Like, how can I just go back to my roots, you know? And it's really hard to not do that. Or it's really hard to do that without friends that are like you, you know, friends who understand. Because, like, at the end of the day, white people are not going to understand your struggles, your culture, anything. Like, they can sympathize, but they can't empathize.
That reminds me of yesterday we were watching The Joy Luck Club. The movie's crazy. We were. And you read the book, but, like, that's pretty much about just, like, there was this one scene where, like, this Asian woman, like, one of the supporting actresses, like, introduces her husband, a white man, to the family. And it's like, it's, you know, the depiction of the way white people go about, like, ethnic cultures is just so crazy, because they think it's so surface level. I think that's what it is. Like people think it's just surface level. Like, oh, this is a different ethnicity or a different culture. That's cool. I can fit in. You can't, because there's so much more than you recognize, you know?
Yeah. But I think it's also like the way that they were brought up. The cultures are just completely different. Like there's just a complete clash, and it's like there's small body language, like small things that you can say that just like you have to know it to know it, or like you have to be in it to know it, you know? So it's really hard to like for white people to adapt like that.
I remember I used to work at Foxtel, and I used to get this all the time, like the white woman, the Sarahs and the Karens were like, oh, your skin's so, I love your skin color. What do you mean by that?
It's always the chocolate references too, right? Your skin is like almond, like chocolate honey.
Your skin is so rich. Shut the hell up. What's wrong with you? All right. Apart from that, so you talk.
This isn't just a game. It's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Talk a little bit about like where you're at right now. What do you like to do? And you kind of went over this, but like, what are some specific things that you do to help yourself get through these like mini phases that happen?
Yep, I have a few.
What's up?
So the first thing is I started doing things that I want to do instead of needing to do. Mm. So what I mean by that is that a lot of people are on go, go, go mode, right? They're like constantly working. They come home, do work, like. Yeah, I do that too, where it's like they're always doing different things. And it's like you're not doing passions and hobbies and interests that you actually like doing because you feel like there's no time, right? So I started crocheting, you know?
You crocheting. Yeah. I love it.
I used to crochet when I was really, really young, and I stopped in like elementary school or high school because it's like I had no time. And so I started crocheting again, and it's such a like mindless hobby that I just loved doing, and it's so nice to start that up again. And I also just started painting again. I just, you know, finished the mural, so I finally got my paintbrushes back. And it's so nice to just like do things that I've always loved doing, but I kept pushing it off, you know? So my first advice is like, please make time for the passions and like the hobbies that you want to do. And you don't have to make money off of this. Like, this is for you. Like, I have not posted me crocheting or, like, painting anywhere yet. So it's, like, it's for me, you know? This is, like, my way of feeling peace and, like, loving myself.
That reminds me of, like, just the painting that I'm making now. It's so specific and particular to my life that I know, like, if I don't write a description to why I made what I made, it's not going to make any sense.
And yeah, but that's okay.
Exactly. That's like what I was about to say. Like, I'm enjoying making it because like it's literally for me. Like, yeah, I'm gonna still post it, and sure, like people will like it, but at the end of the day, like this is literally for me. And like me making this, apart from the whole like thing I said about like not knowing if I'm good enough at it, I'm enjoying what I'm making because it's so specific to me, and it really, you know, like you said, it helps bring me back to like that time.
You know what, like those things, those small things also make you really excited for life. Mm-hmm. Like especially if you have like the same routine every single day. Like I wake up at 5:30 every single day for my first grade field work, and I come home at a certain time, and it's like I have the same routine, you know? I go to sleep at a certain time, and it's like at that point, it's like, especially if you're working for years and years and you're expected to work until like 60, it's like, it's very daunting, you know? It's like, what does my life mean when I have to work every single day? And I feel like you need small things to make you excited about life. So I love coming home now. It's like, oh my God, like now I can crochet. Like, oh my God, now I can like paint and have time to do things I actually want to do. And it's really nice to have that feeling. Like literally the other day, I bought yogurt and it had like cookies and cream toppings, and there was another one with s'mores toppings.
Yeah.
And I'd never had this yogurt before.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to wake up in the morning to have this yogurt. Yeah. And it wasn't even like that transformational, but like It was amazing. No, you know, it was so nice to have that feeling.
Honestly, I get it. I've been making this breakfast sandwich. I've literally made it for like 2 weeks straight. And I go to sleep just excited to make it in the morning. Mm-hmm. And like you saying that reminds me of this other podcast I was listening to by this guy named Matt Diavella. And he was just...
What the hell are all these podcasts you're listening to?
Yeah, I'm a podcaster. So, you know, I gotta, you know, feel me? And he was just talking about, you know, his episode topic was, why do we feel like we have no time? Like, why do people think that we have no time for anything? And it's because what you just said, like, when you're in this routine where you're doing the exact same thing every single day from morning to night, time flies by because there is nothing to break it up. And if you want to feel like you have more time, if you want, like, to feel like you're more rich in what you're doing throughout the day and just break your perception of time, it's to like bring in things like that, like practicing these like, what's the word I'm looking for, just like you said, like being excited in the morning for like something completely different that's not a part of your routine, like that's how you make the days feel like they're longer, like doing these things that are not in your routine. Of course, routines are very valuable and, you know, they do help you a lot. But at the end of the day, like, you need these things to break up your day to help you feel more tapped in with yourself.
Yeah. Another thing that I really think is important is just making the most of your day. Like, okay, first of all, YOLO. Like, you only live once, right? I literally have a tattoo, my one and only tattoo that's that true. I have. Viva la vida, which means live the life. I got this tattoo when I was 18. And I still live by it, even though, you know, I got lost along the way. But it's like, you go to work, right? And you wear your conventional clothing. First of all, boring. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to come at you guys like that.
That's why I hate uniforms, bro. I had a uniform in middle school. I hated it.
I go to school, right? I work in a school. And every teacher's wearing the same type of clothing. Like slacks, like a sweater, like blah, blah, blah. Boring. Right. Like, I'm an artist. I have colored hair, which is unconventional enough as it is. I'm gonna wear whatever the hell I want. You know, life is really, really short. And it's like my mantra right now, why the hell should I wait for the weekend to do anything that I want? Your life, if you're working 5 days a week, you're telling me you're gonna just like not dress how you want those 5 days a week. And it's also like, why should you leave events for the weekend only? You know, like, why should you feel like you deserve it only on a Friday or a Saturday when you have like time? It's like time, like, you never know how much time you have left, but it's also like YOLO. Like, it doesn't matter if you're obviously like, come home sometimes and relax, and like, you should have days to recharge, but also like, go out after work sometimes, like go to a museum by yourself, go hang out with friends. Like, life is so short. Like, just do what you want to do and stop leaving everything for the weekend, you know? It's like, I really think you have to like be spontaneous and just like do what you want to do when you want to do it, because it's so easy to make excuses or wait around and just take life by the hair.
Nice.
That's
a good quote.
Yep.
I think one more thing that I did want to bring up, just to like round out the whole identity crisis topic, is...
Oh, I still got more to say.
Oh, all right.
I'm still going.
All right. What else you got?
No, what did you want to say?
Go ahead. Okay. It's my turn. One thing that I want to mention is when I was in high school, when I was a you know, a young bull coming up, I had a kind of like what I was saying before, since I was really insecure with myself because there was just a lot going on, I never felt confident in myself to really express who I really am. I was so embarrassed to say that, you know, where my house is located, because it's in like a low income neighborhood. I was so embarrassed to say like how much I was making at Aeropostale. Like, I was just so embarrassed to be myself. And, you know, once I started hanging out with a different crowd, I completely forgot who I was growing up. You know, I just tried to be this new like coffee guru in like the coffee community and just try to be something else. And I think since the beginning of quarantine, it's progressed to like where I am today, where like I used to try to be like, oh, like, I'm from New York, you know, I'm a New York boy, I'm a city boy, you know. But now I'm just like, I've become so confident and comfortable with being like, oh, I'm a Florida boy. Like, I grew up like jumping in lakes, jumping off of trees and rolling in grass and rolling down hills.
Yep, he's an Orlando boy.
Just Florida shit. And I think that's where a lot of people, maybe not specifically to that, but maybe you're in a place where you're just embarrassed to recognize where you actually are in your life. But I think it's important to remember that, like, you're not going to be happy with yourself until you embrace who you really are. And today, like, I'm so much happier with myself because I'm comfortable with saying that I came from a poor neighborhood. I'm comfortable with saying, you know, how little money I had in my bank account. Like, I'm comfortable with saying all of these, like, bad experiences I had in my life, where my whole life I tried to push it away. I tried to make myself believe that this isn't really my life. And I think a lot of people, especially in that, like, 18 to 20 range, are just trying, maybe not, like, not consciously trying to be something else, but maybe you're just not proud of who you really are. But the honest truth is, like, you're not going to be happy until you become comfortable with who you really are.
Yeah, you have to, like, really embrace your roots, and you can't run away from, like, where you came from, you know?
No, but yeah, other than that, you said you had more to say. What else do you like to do?
What the heck? I got more to say.
I'm sorry.
So, as I mentioned before, I've been really exploring my identity as through fashion, and it's like, it's so fun to reinvent yourself. And it's like, I'm finally building a wardrobe, sustainable, of course, from thrifting.
Yeah.
Where I feel like I'm representing myself in a way that I've always wanted to do, you know? Like, I feel like Hannah Montana. It's like, you know, I'm finally wearing things I want to do. I'm wearing it to work so my first graders think I'm cool. And I just, like, love that. I think if you have the chance to explore your identity in a different way, like, through makeup, through fashion, through whatever it is, it just, like, makes you feel more confident, and it makes you feel like you got it together. But it also makes you feel more you, you know, if you start expressing yourself in the same way that you feel internally. And the one other thing that I'm thinking about to get out of this little funk of yours, I was actually listening to Miss Emma Chamberlain's podcast, you know, love that girly, love her. She had a podcast episode recently about getting out of your comfort zone, and I really resonated. That's actually what inspired this episode, as on top of what, like, what we're going through and what you're going through. She was saying that it's really important to get out of your comfort zone, and I think that's really relatable because that's what I've been doing too. And what I mean by that is, like, I'm starting to say yes to more things that I would have never said yes to, as in, like, saying yes to going to events, or, like, saying yes to, like, working with people or having meetings with people, or, like, whatever it is. Like, things like that always intimidated me before in the past because I kind of wanted to do everything on my own, and it's like, I have trust issues, and it's like, I don't really like just interacting with people as much anymore. But now I'm realizing, like, if I want to make opportunities, if I want to, like, figure out who I am as a person, I have to start exploring life, you know? I'm literally living in the greatest city. Like, I have to start exploring life. So I've been going to events and parties and different things to meet new people and meet new friends. And it's overwhelming at times. And, like, sometimes I get anxious. Like, the other day I went to this event in Brooklyn, and it was a very, like, packed event with people. And I met, like, a lot of great people. It was a great space in Brooklyn, but it wasn't really for me. Like, I like talking to people in, like, more of a intimate space, like, more of a quiet space where I can actually get to know them. So that was the type of event where, like, it was great to go after work. Like, I was there until, like, 10 o'clock at night. But I probably wouldn't do something like that again. But it's like, now I know what I like and what I don't like, you know? And it was, I'm just proud of myself for putting myself out there. And I really think that you got to start saying yes to things that you would never say yes to. And it's going to do wonders to how you treat things in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think right now I'm in a place where I'm not talking to anybody. And I've been in this place for months. And like, I know that in order to help myself, I need to stop doing it. Yeah, I'll get out of it eventually. I don't know how, though. I'll figure it out.
I think another thing that both, you're starting to do it more, but I've been doing it for a little bit now. It's just, like, taking yourself out on dates. I know we've mentioned this before in other episodes, but it's really important to, like, get to know yourself and get to see how you react to certain situations and just be uncomfortable with being by yourself, you know? And like, we've done that. We live alone, so like, we've been doing that, but it's really important to like treat yourself on things. And it's like, don't wait around for people or friends to do things with you when they say no, or it's like, oh, like, we'll do it later, and you really want to go. Just do it yourself, you know?
I think in general,
it's so rewarding.
I think in general, it's just important like to remember like how beneficial and valuable the small things could be. I think like people, we try to make these things like such grand hassles and grand issues when like, sure it is, but like the best way to go about it is just to practice like the small stuff. I start making cha every night, you know, like I love making cha now, like reminds me of my mom, and like I have like a big pack of incense that I got from Apna Bazaar, and it just smells like my mom's spices back at home. Like I light like 4 to 5 every single day, and it just kind of like reminds me of like who I really am, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like those small things, like a scent or just like a small activity, making a beverage, like it helps me a lot. And a lot of people put off the small things when it's really the small things that are the most important.
Yeah, I think now that I'm starting to find myself in a different light and discover myself again, I'm so much more inspired, and it's making me want to incorporate so many more of my roots into like when I design things and like when I do art and when I create content, and even with like my home decor, like I'm starting to incorporate more like South Asian decor and like more Islamic decor. And I think it's so important, like it really just comes full circle, and like you really have to experience the lows to get to the highs, you know. Pow.
Mic drop. All right, boom, cool. We yapped away at you guys a lot. We should,
yeah, also who the hell gave us a 1 as a review in our Spotify?
Because I didn't want to bring it up.
No, we had 5 stars. We had 52 reviews. We had 5 stars, and now we have 4.9 53 reviews. You know, so who did it?
I mean, like it's inevitable, but also like if I see you, we got a problem. No, but okay. We could do our questions now, right?
Yeah.
You
want to
pull them up? Oh, me?
No, you pull them up. I always pull them up.
That's not true.
It's true.
While I pull them up, if you guys don't know,
I'll sing you guys a song.
No, we're not doing that. If you guys
please
don't,
please follow us on Difficult Dish.
If you guys
please
don't,
please leave us a review on Difficult Dish.
We just lost all our listeners. If you guys don't know, we ask you guys how you guys feel about our upcoming topic on our Instagram @difficultdish on Instagram. Boom. So the first one we got is not having a hobby compared to others. We both relate to that, huh?
No, we have so many hobbies and interests.
No, the question was not having one that isn't similar to like the other people around you.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, I wonder what your hobby is then.
What?
That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what that person's hobby is.
I mean, it could be something generic. Maybe they're into just like anything artistic. And obviously, I feel that, like I've said this many times, but like growing up, I didn't have anybody that was doing what I like to do. And that played a big part into why I didn't pursue it as much as I wanted to. You know, I think the self-confidence and the self-security is really important, and it probably is the most important. But it's hard to get that when you don't have like those other people around you kind of rooting you on, like whether it's consciously or subconsciously. And that goes back to what I was saying just about being surrounded by like white people who don't like to do what you like to do. And
yeah.
I totally get it. And, you know, my biggest tip is mostly it's just find a way to build that self-confidence in yourself and really just tap into yourself and figure out why it is that you like to do what you're doing. Instead of just kind of mindlessly pursuing your hobby, things become stronger once you put like a real true purpose or attachment behind it. You know, you want to put some weight behind these things that you like to do. And once I figured out why it is that I like to paint, why it is that I like to write, and putting meaning behind it, that really grew my confidence a lot more. And it really made me realize like, sure, it'll probably be a little bit easier or cooler to have those other people around me that like to do it too. But at the end of the day, that's not guaranteed, and you can't count on things that aren't guaranteed in life. You really just got to count on yourself.
But also, I was thinking about how much of a turnoff it is if you don't have like-minded people around you to support you and also inspire you, because you kind of need someone to look up to, or you need someone to like talk to about it. It's hard to do it on your own, and I get it, because I've also been on that boat where I felt like I was solo and like it was just really hard, right? But I think we're in this society now where everyone is doing something, and it's like you can find anyone having that like-minded passion as you or interest as you through social media or whatever it is. So I think you should find your community through social media. And that's what I've been doing too, where it's like, I always thought that I was alone on this path. You know, I had to do everything by myself. But I started realizing that there's something for everyone, and there's something for you too, you know? So try to find your people and try to put all of your being into this passion of yours and actually have a purpose behind it, because that's really important. It's so easy to just say, oh, I'm an artist, I just make things. But it's like, why are you an artist? Why do you make the things that you make? You know, what's your reasoning with it? And I really think that's what's going to motivate you, even if you don't find your crowd or even if you don't find your online friends.
Yeah, cool. Next one we got is, in my 20s, living at home, looking for a sense of self with the pressure to have it all together. So, you know, growing of age at home, trying to figure out who you really are and how to have it all together. How do you feel about that?
I think a lot of parents pressure their kids to get married right after they hit a certain age, especially if they're living at home, and it's like right after you're living at home, you have to get married. So it's like you never had that chance to live alone, you know?
I mean, like, rather than getting married, it's like you have so many like just tasks that are portrayed on you at a certain age. It's like, by this age, you got to do this. And at this age, you got to do this. And you're like, I just kind of want to live life, you know? And
When I was living at home, I felt very not at tune with myself. I felt like my energy was getting sucked out of me. I just felt like I didn't know who I was as a person, because I dedicated so much of my time and mental health and everything to like my parents and my brother and like just being a good daughter, you know?
Yeah.
So I know how suffocating it is to be at home while also trying to explore your identity. I honestly feel like it's really hard to be your authentic self and to discover yourself when you're at home, because it's like you're around the people, you're around the community that you grew up with, you know? And it's like you have barely any room to go beyond that and grow. I think my advice applies to you as well. Like, yeah, it is hard to explore yourself while you're at home. But I also think that if you do explore your passions, if you do start making your day count by wearing clothing that you like wearing to work or school, if you do start living like life is short, it's like that will help you too, even despite the fact that you live at home. So it's like you should still explore yourself in your home by doing those things.
Yeah, I remember like when I was at home, my mom used to not say stuff, but like when I was painting, when I was writing, she's like, yo, what are you doing? And I was like, Mom, I'm just doing me. And yeah, they'll say stuff, you know, whatever they say, just be like, yeah, just let me do this real quick, you know, and just find a way to tune all that out. And I know it's hard, but once you figure out how to, it gets so much easier.
Yeah, push through it.
So last one we're doing is a little heavy one. We got, I feel like I don't have my own personality because my parents chose everything for me. I feel like it's something that everybody relates to.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of related to what we said before, where your whole identity is connected to your parents. But on top of that, I've also mentioned this so many times in so many of my art posts or like reels. It's so common for parents to do everything for you. And at this point, or like at one point or another, you're kind of dependent on your parents, because it's like they work for you to bring money, they cook for you so you don't even have to cook, they just want you to focus on your education. And it's like you are not taught to be independent, so it's never pushed for you to like actually make your own decisions, because it's kind of made for you, you know? And it's like what I'm used to is that like my mom used to always like, she would always just like choose everything for me, even if like she gave me the choice. She'd be like, oh, what do you want for dinner? And I'll say something, right? And she'd be like, no, like the other option is better. So it's like, why did you ask me, you know? Yeah. So it's like small, like obviously that's a small example, but it's like you have very little say in what you want and like what you want to do. So it's really hard to get out of that and like finally have that freedom to have all these options. And it's like you don't know how to choose anything because you were never taught to. But like I said, I mentioned this in one of my videos on Instagram, and it's like to be independent, you have to start doing things on your own. You have to be uncomfortable. Like I said, you have to be out of your comfort zone, even if you're living at home, it's possible. So it's like make that meal at home, even if you have your mom's food in the fridge, you know? Go out on solo dates, even if you feel like you can hit up a friend to go with you, even if you feel like it's too uncomfortable to go to the Met by yourself, you know? Just do that uncomfortable thing. Little steps will make you feel more confident in yourself and more independent, and it's like that will make you feel more comfortable to make your own decisions in the future.
Yeah, it's baby steps. Do a little by little, one by one. Start making start making some cha, you know? Start buying some incense, you know?
Oh, wow.
For me?
Oh, wow. You're an old man in a 23-year-old body.
Come on. Incense are nice. I like them.
No, I smelled the incense he has and it doesn't smell that good.
What?
I don't like it.
When the hell did you smell my incense?
The one from Opnabuzzer that we got.
Is that the same one?
The one from Opnabuzzer, the flea market.
No, you silly goose. It's not that one. It's a different one. This one smells like mashallah.
Mashallah. All right.
All right. My God, this episode was long. I'm so sorry if you guys are listening right now.
I feel like they like the longer episodes. Y'all, let us know.
You guys don't give us feedback. Please give us feedback. It's like when we got the new microphones, our listeners tripled. Like you guys know, like nobody told us our microphones were that bad. If there's something that we were bad at, just tell us. We got thick skin.
Let us know if you want us to redo any episodes or go in depth for more episodes. I know I get so many moving out questions on the daily. So if you want another moving out episode.
Do we just need to make the podcast about moving out?
Moving out. Just moving out to-do list. Yeah. What's your advice for today?
My advice?
Yeah, put you on the spot, huh?
Let me pull up my notes.
Hell no. Not the notes again.
I got gems in my notes.
I've been given so much advice lately. I'm all milked out.
it's not the right word. I got one. I didn't even get to talk about this, but I watched the Kanye West documentary recently. You still need to watch it, bro. This documentary is crazy. Please, if you're listening right now, please watch the Kanye West documentary. I'm not gonna get into detail, but it's really been on my mind ever since I watched it. In the documentary, Kanye was talking to his mom, and his mom was like, "Oh, like you're super confident, you know, which is great." And I think this is just my advice. It's a guy from Kanye's mom. Kanye's mom said, "You know, it's important to be confident. It's important to be happy and proud of who you are. But just remember, a giant can't see themselves in the mirror."
That's a good one.
You feel me? So it's like, of course, be happy with yourself and be proud to show off who you are. But at the end of the day, like, don't ever think that you're bigger than something. You're bigger than somebody else, or you're bigger than just yourself, because you will be the happiest being just the truest form of yourself. And don't ever think that you're anything other than that. Because you won't really get that good reflection of yourself, you know?
That's a good one.
Yeah. What you got? You got to top
that? My piece of advice is... No. My piece of advice is floss. I went to the dentist the other day and I got my...
I got my
first cavity in my life. I got 3 cavities in one sitting. Can you believe that, guys?
All those Yasso
bars.
Can you
believe I got 3 cavities? I know. All those Yasso, please sponsor me.
Yasso, if you're listening.
I got 3 cavities and they had to fill in my cavities. I thought I was a superwoman because I didn't feel them drilling into my teeth, but turns out they numbed me. And my whole left side of my mouth was numb. You are a superwoman. But anyways, yeah, floss your teeth. Brush your teeth at night.
Thanks.
But that's all I got.
Don't be overconfident and floss. That's difficult.
Yep. Yeah, that's difficult.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please rate us on Spotify. We're going to take a 3-second pause right now. A moment of silence. Please rate us right now. A 5. I gotta say that. A 5. If you're listening right now, you love us. Please give us a 5. I'll literally cry. All right.
You want me to cry?
You want me to cry? All right, thank you guys for listening to our podcast. Please rate us and leave us a review and follow us and tell us nice things.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Cool.
Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.